Have you ever questioned whether God exists? Or whether what the Bible teaches about God is accurate? Perhaps you have had doubts or occasionally struggled with your faith. This morning, I have good news for you. God is willing to assist you in believing in Him and His words. He's ready to help you. And God does not condemn us if we have questions. Abraham is an interesting character in the Bible. I remember learning about Abraham, or Abraham as he would later be known, very early in my life. As a young boy in Sunday school, we look up to Abraham as a model of faith and obedience to God. And we used to sing that beautiful song, "Father Abraham had many sons." Many sons had Father Abraham. I guess most of you sang that. But Abraham wasn't perfect. Far from it. The more we read the story of Abraham, the more we see his many flaws. Chief among them is that Abraham doubted God. I don't know if you are ever troubled with insomnia, but it can be a wretched experience. It's not only wretched because of the physical effects, but because of the mental ones. I know physically you feel tired, rotten the next day, but mentally the worst time of the day to think about your problems is the early hours of the morning, when you are laying on your bed early in the morning, because your worries tend to get bigger and bigger. The more you worry about them, the greater they become. Now it's clear from our Old Testament reading that Abraham was troubled with insomnia. And a careful reading of our text suggests exactly what he thought about when he lay awake. Because Genesis chapter 15 starts in the middle of the night when Abraham was wide awake. And we can easily figure out what he's thinking about. Our reading says, "After these things." Well, now, after what things? In Genesis chapter 14, the previous chapter, Abraham went to rescue his nephew Lot. I guess many of you remember that story. Abraham had gone into battle, and by a very subtle and surprising strategy, in the middle of the night, he defeated four powerful kings and their combined army. He rescued Lot and brought him back to his own place. And on the way back, he had been offered by the king of Sodom all the loot, the plunder that had been taken in the battle. And Abraham refused to take any of it because he didn't want to be made rich by ungodly people. So there is a lesson for us here also. We are in the midst of the Lenten season. He was mindful of the sources of his finances. And Abraham refused to take any of it. Now, these were the things that were preying on his mind. These were the things that were troubling him. And as he lay awake, this is what he was thinking. First of all, he was thinking those four kings are likely to come back and take their revenge. After all, I only defeated them because I surprised them at night when they didn't expect anyone to attack them. But they are far stronger than I am, and they can come back and wipe me off the face of the earth, and along with my 318 men. And he lay awake afraid of revenge from those four kings. How often we fear what other people will say or do to us. And the second thing, he found himself thinking about the loot, the plunder that he lost. And sometimes in the night, temptations are much more subtle and real than in the day. And he began to think, I could have done with some of that. And so could my men. Was I right to refuse it? After all, it was offered freely. It was, after all, a reward for winning a battle. And as he began to think around this, another thought struck him. But even if I got all that stuff, I am an old man, and I'm not much longer for this world. Who do I pass it on to? I have no son. I have no heir. What the use of these riches? And terrified of those four kings, he lay awake, tossing about, and now he's realized that he truly wanted that loot. He regrets not taking it. He has no son. Thus he concerned about the future. And my suggestion to those who are troubled with insomnia, when you get into that state, worrying about something, worrying about the next day, the next morning, worrying about your boss, your job, worrying about the future, worrying about your loved ones, have a talk with God about it. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord. Talk to God about the things that are worrying you. At this moment, as Abraham was tossing and turning on his bed, God spoke to him. Now, every word that God said met the need of one of these worries of his. Now you know why we can figure out why he was so worried. The first thing that he was worried about very badly was the fear of the kings. And God said, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield." In other words, I am between you and every enemy you got. I will be your protection. When they attack you, it's me that they will hit first. I am your shield. For the first time in the Bible, God says to a human, fear not. And it's not the last time. It will not be the last time. It was and is one of our Lord's favorite words, fear not. If you start counting the phrase fear not or do not be afraid, you will find they appear 366 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year and one for a leap year thrown in. Fear comes to us at night sometimes. Fear of the future, fear about what people will say and do to us. And God said to Abraham, fear not, I am your shield. And God said to Abraham, you are worrying about that loot, aren't you? If you are right to refuse that reward for winning the battle, Abraham, you shouldn't be worrying about what you lost, because you were true to me. Your reward will be very great. Your reward will be very great. But Abraham says, I have no son, no heir. Even if you bless me, what do I pass it on to? He says, I have no one to pass your reward unto. So what's the point giving it to me? In other words, for Abraham laying awake that night, the future looks bleak and barren. He was He saw battle in it. He saw poverty in it. And he saw no future in his family tree. And so that's what caused the insomnia. That's why he was having sleepless nights. God got him up from the bed and said, "Come outside. Come out of your tent." We need to come out of our tent. We need to do the same. And God says, "I am going to have a word with you out there." And on that still night, he went out and looked up. Stars were twinkling above the tent. And God loves to speak to you through something he made. Remember the story of Noah? To Noah, God said, "Look at the rainbow. Every time you see that rainbow, I want you to think it's my wedding ring for you." And now God took the stars and said, "Every time you look at the stars, I want you to remember that you are going to have as many descendants as there are stars." And that's a pretty big number. No one has been able to count the stars, and nobody will be, because there are millions of galaxies, and in every galaxy there are billions of stars. And now we come to verse 6, which is the most important verse in the whole of the Old Testament. There is no more important verse than this verse of Genesis chapter 15. We reach the peak of Abraham's life. Abraham was already 86 years of age. He had no children. His wife was way past childbearing. And God said, "You will have as many descendants as those stars." Now Abraham could have said three things. He could have said, "I don't believe it." Or he could have said what would be much more human: "I will believe it when I see it." Or he could say, "Lord, I believe you." And he said the third one. Abraham believed God, and it reckoned to him as righteousness. Now that's a most powerful statement, because it's the beginning of faith in the Bible at the deepest level. And from here they run a thread straight through to the New Testament, where in Romans chapter 4, in Galatians 3 and 4, in James 2 and Hebrews chapter 11, you find this incident referred. Again and again, the New Testament took that verse. Abraham believed God, and it reckoned to him as righteousness. This was the fundamental incident in Abraham's life. He believed God. This morning, we read that Abraham openly doubted that God would keep his promise to make his descendant a great nation and to give them the land of Canaan. But we also read that Abraham believed the promise of God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. How can this be? I tell you, the important lesson that the scripture teaches us this morning: doubt is not the opposite of faith. Even Thomas, who is still referred to as Doubting Thomas, had doubts about whether Jesus had risen from the dead. If Abraham is such a model of faith in God, and he doubted, then doubt must be part of the process somehow. If you doubt, I guess that's the first step in believing God. But you might be wondering what the opposite of faith is. Our gospel this morning gives us an answer to that question. The opposite of being faithful to God is ignoring or rejecting God's gracious offer to be part of your life. The opposite of being faithful to God is ignoring or rejecting God. Jesus demonstrates this when he rebukes the Pharisees who try to warn him that Herod wants to kill him. Jesus calls Herod a fox, and this Herod Antipas recently killed his cousin John. But Jesus calls him a fox and explains that he will not be scared off his mission by political threats. In the scriptures, this willful rejection or ignoring of God is said to come from a hardening of the heart. Hardening of the heart means that we have put up walls around our hearts that keep God out. A hard heart cannot be molded by God into the shape that God wants it to be. So, what do these stories about faith have to do with us? Hard hearts are a normal human condition. We are born into a sinful world where our own desires and instincts work against us. Without God helping us along, we would be in trouble. And God has sent that help through the Holy Spirit, if we only allow Him to work in our hearts. The good news is that we also have an example of a person who maintains a soft heart. When Abraham doubts, he honestly brings it to before God. He doesn't keep quiet about it. Abraham brings his concerns to God. Abraham listens to God's response. He values his personal relationship with God more than his own hurts and disappointments. So our task is to be like Father Abraham. We are in the church season of Lent. That means that we are preparing ourselves for Resurrection Day. As we prepare to celebrate the life, giving, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I implore you to keep God in the conversation. Keep God in the conversation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, do you have any doubts about God fulfilling His promises to you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Then, just like Abraham, wait for a response. This will keep your heart soft and tender for God to work on. That's what faith is all about. In Jesus' name, we ask God's blessing upon each and every one of us. Amen.